Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as mobistrippress.com. And both of these sites are awesome resources to help you understand what needs to be done. And if there's not enough data there, by all means, there's contact information for you to reach out to me so that you can get that information, because I believe it's important that we have all the knowledge we need to be successful. If we're not successful this time around, then I dread to think of the consequences of not winning this this important battle that we have ahead of us. So anyway, as I move forward here, I try to remind you every once in a while that I do have the 3C policy, and if you're going to call, I only ask that you, if you happen to know me, just please be confidential, and two, be civil, and three, be concise so that we can get into the discussion and move forward, because this is only an hour long, and a lot of times I'll prepare for an hour, and I'll barely get half of it in because time just flies by, and it literally doesn't have anything to do with the breaks necessarily, but it really has more to do with me because I just go off on tangents, and I apologize for that because I need to be more concise. And so, speaking of which, I've had this standing question regarding religious freedom, because there seems to be a difference in opinion of whether the Constitution guarantees and protects religious freedom and what that means. And so I will leave that out there, and so that anybody that wants to call and kind of have that discussion, and again, I'm not going to be a jerk about it. I'm not going to tell you to thank me for your call or poke you in the eye or berate you when you hang up or what have you. I just want to have a civil dialogue because I think it's important that, you know, we start to articulate how we perceive things and how we've been taught. It's just like these protests and this supposedly right to assemble. That is not what you see in the streets is not constitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that guarantees that you can do riots, protests, and those types of things. Now, there are marching, parades, and those types of things with your local government that you can, sign up for and do that legally. But these protests that literally get out into the street and disturb commerce and what have you, walking out onto the freeway like Al Sharpton did back in the 90s in L.A. and in other places like in Missouri. That is not constitutional. These kids, these protesters, these useful idiots of the communists do not have a clue as to what they are doing. But that's an outright violation of your civil rights, especially if you're a truck driver going from, you know, point A to point B, and you've got a delivery and you've got to get there and you're being paid by the load. Who do you charge that to? You lose money just by sitting there, sitting on the clock while you have to park for an hour. It's the same thing if you live in the mountains and there's snow, and I'm going to go on a tangent here, and you happen to be held up in traffic because some idiots were driving on the roadway without the proper equipment. You know, in other words, they have street tires or they don't have traction tires that are required for you to go over the pass. And they spin out, they have accidents, they have to close the freeway down for a couple of hours. Who pays for the economic impact for that? I'm going to tell you that it should be the idiots that are driving, and pass a law in the states where they have these passes, where this occurs. And I'll guarantee you, if you make the idiot that, you know, spins out and loses control pay for the full economic cost, these problems will go away, because once people literally have to pay the full price of their actions, then they're going to start thinking, huh, I don't know if I wanted to. Al Sharpton should have paid, and the other leaders who were involved in that in L.A. and all these other freeway protests to stop traffic and these protests in the freeway, regardless of stopping. You've seen these things, and I honestly think that the people that are doing this and the leaders involved should be incarcerated, and they should have to pay the economic impact. That is a violation of your constitutional rights to be able to go to work, you know, for your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and be able to, you know, go earn money and that type of thing. And it's nobody's right to be able to stop you from doing that, especially as you're just basically, you know, traveling from point A to point B. So I was going to talk about the Chinese Navy. I just want to throw it out there that it's give them time. Give the Chinese Navy time as they continue to build ships. They're going to get better. They're going to get faster at it. And they're going to be able to start pumping these things out. We're not too far away from having a really good alternative third, you know, partner in the true Cold War, where it was pretty much just Russia and us. And so this isn't necessarily a good thing, folks. And as a matter of fact, figuring out what Trump is doing and trying to actually stop the transfer of wealth from America to China and allowing them to hedge and to subsidize so that they can bleed us, that's not a good thing. And I'm all for free trade, and I'm all for freedom and liberty, but you cannot apply that. And as a matter of fact, it goes back to our old principles of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, that if you were a communist nation, if you were suppressing your people, oppressing and literally enslaving them to work and so forth, like in the Koreas, then I think that they need to be held accountable to a higher standard to be able to trade with us, and they shouldn't be able to get away with dumping crap into our shores and into our warehouses and businesses for sale. Anyway, there's another, if you haven't noticed, there was another arrest, and there seems to be an uptick on this sex trafficking arrest. And I know I played a couple of segments of Aaron Tilbury from the Jonah Project. There is no greater loss of liberty than these poor kids and people trapped in this sex trade and sex trafficking business. And so the question I have is this good that we're seeing more arrests, or is this an indictment that the business is growing and it is getting out of hand, that they're actually stumbling across this a lot more, because 10 years ago it was, you know, hardly even known. And so it's not that it wasn't happening 10 years ago. And the fact of the matter is, the real problem is it's a growing demand. And so we have an indictment on the morality, and I've been saying this, the morality of this nation is going down the tube. And as you see these types of things, you see these kids, you know, marching and wanting to surrender their liberties. And even worse, you see a former kid just out of school go back and want to murder his own friends or, you know, his fellow kids. To me, that is the true indictment of where our society is in its context to morality. And it is sad that nobody is begging and pleading to let us please bring prayer back. And not even, we shouldn't even be begging. We should be demanding, put prayer back in the school, put the Bible back in, and start teaching principles and stop this secular progressive social engineering. That is the real problem that we are facing as a people and as a nation. There's this whole concept of repealing the Second Amendment is just repugnant to me. I know I'm out of time, but I will say this, that I did want to mention one thing about Facebook. So when we get back, I'm going to rant a little bit about Facebook. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was just saying, I believe that if you look at what's going on amongst the social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and these other social media outlets, especially the two big ones, Facebook and Twitter, you'll find that there seems to be a lack of liberals screaming about censorship. And there just seems to be a lack of a presence of the ACLU stepping in and saying, this is unfair, this is not right. I know that I, being an advocate for small government and limited government, that doesn't mean that the government can't incentivize. Now, there is clearly the ability for government to tax businesses and direct tax. If you go through the ratification debates, that was one of the parts of the debate that clearly the Federalists or the Anti-Federalists just couldn't hold water. They could, because that was the one thing that the Anti-Federalists believed that they could win and not ratify the Constitution on, the fact that this direct tax would be this evil portal. And technically, it wasn't the evil portal. It took the 16th Amendment to create the evil portal to where they could just continually spend. And there were a lot of other factors involved in that, but I don't want to digress on that. The whole point is that the government does have the ability to tax these corporations, and the government does have the ability to basically incentivize free speech and our constitutional values. And so when media and news, NBC and the rest of these companies, decide to start filtering, and you can come up with, because I talk about this in my book, that when it becomes a proven fact that there has been bias either in local press or in the mainstream media or in the social media companies, then the government should be able to come in with a punitive tax and say, look, we want you to not be taxed, but you can't be censoring in favor of pushing one idea over another. And so I think that the government needs to use that good old stick and carrot method to say, you know, we want to incentivize people to, you know, have open and honest discussions and dialogue. And we don't want people to be censored. We don't want manipulation, because if you've listened to any of my shows, I talk about the history of manipulation from Christmas, Thanksgiving, and all of these things that we supposedly celebrate. I mean, what is, you know, the big parade in May around the world is called the May Day Parade. That is the parade of labor. That is their Labor Day Parade. And what that is a parade of communism. And so our Labor Day in September is the same thing. It is a communist holiday. So looking at things and how we've been manipulated into establishing a recognition for this type of thing and that type of thing, it has been really more to promote centralizing powers, collectivization, socialism, communism, and those types of things. And so Facebook should be slapped with a huge tax, if you want to call it a fine or what have you, because any organization that's doing what they're doing and manipulating and playing with your data and monitoring your phone calls, that's one of the reasons why I have a mobile device. There are no connections on my mobile device to any type of account, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, or any social media. And I hear people complaining that they're talking in the room with their phone sitting by them, and next thing they know, they see these advertisements for things that they were talking about. And so that means that you're being spied on by corporations. And if corporations are doing it, then guess who else is doing it? Orwell. Yeah, George Orwell's doing it. Yep, it's got to be him. So anyway, let's try to focus again on some marketing, because I think marketing has really helped, what helps drive people to go buy something, buy into something. And so I don't necessarily have to do this great sell to you on Republic Review and the power of the states and auditing. What I'm trying to do is basically letting you have the necessary information of what the solution is. And then I'm going to let the government do the marketing for me, because, I mean, who can do it better than them? I mean, when, like I talked about yesterday, what is more stimulating in marketing about the evils of government, excuse me, when you have incidents like Waco, Ruby Ridge, and so forth and so on, or you have this debauchery in the school system, and you have Planned Parenthood teaching sex ed and so forth. I mean, really? We're letting the foxes run the hen houses now. And so anyway, so let's go through some of this, because prior to this weekend's Purell, you know, behavior of the useful young idiots going out there and saying, take away our rights. Let's kind of look at what happened just before that, because there was this big omnibus bill that was going to spend us into oblivion, or at least add, what, another $1.5 trillion, something like that, in debt. And so the question I have is, what is it? How much more money, how much more debt do we have to rack up before you're actually motivated in taking some action? How much more of your posterity are you willing to wager as far as their comfort and their quality of life? Are you willing to wager before you actually do something? Oh, well, you know, we've still got time. I'm telling you, time is running out. Time is very finite. Nobody knows how much time we have, but I will tell you that the globalists and those who are manipulating it, they can pull the plunge at any point in time. And that is why it is essential that the state legislatures understand the power and the authority that they have over this Constitution. That when Lincoln, when Wilson, FDR, and even when Congress handed Nixon the controls of government, an unbridled and unchecked government, that he could do anything that they wanted to do, then I am telling you that if the states understand their responsibility and power, they will be able to stand up and say, nope, no, you can't. You cannot set aside that Constitution. That is our contract. And we do not believe that this is necessary for what you need to do. And that's when I think the states need to literally drive in and take over, just like the parents need to do when the child goes amok. And next thing you know, he's juggling knives in the kitchen. You know, that may not be a good thing to let your three-year-old do. And so what we need to do is, you know, start putting some marketing spins on this. So Congress is going to give you more debt and spend money and buy more votes, because that's what they're doing with most of this social engineering money, is they're buying more votes to grow this business of indolence of the masses, so that people can have a little bit more and have, you know, have to pay a little less out of their pocket the government's giving them, so they can improve their quality of life at your expense, of course. Does this matter that non-productive people are being incentivized in maintaining their indolence and non-productivity? Does that matter to you? I don't know. I would hope it does. There used to be a time when honor and character meant more to a man than life itself. And now honor and character mean nothing. They don't mean anything anymore. And when that occurs, then I believe we are at top speed in this downward spiral, or this trip to the bottom. And we need to start doing something. I'm trying to convince you that you need to do something. So what is it you're going to do? Are you ready to quit and join the class of the indolent? Maybe the quality of life over there isn't so bad. Are you ready to surrender what liberties you have left? Are you ready to just, you know, give in and go, you know what? It's not that bad. I've heard some say that they're okay with limited liberties. Oh, guess what? I'm up at a hard break again. I will get back to this. I've heard some say that they're okay with limited liberties. It's not so bad, when we get back after a word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so I heard some people actually say, you know, this isn't so bad. You know, living in socialism, that's not so bad. I don't understand what happened to our genetics, and I don't know what happened to the American culture, but apparently somebody has been watering down the gene pool. And so I can't help but think of the discussions during the ratification debates and how they argued in the Virginia ratification debates and in the Pennsylvania and in the New York and so forth, how they just argued over the necessity of the Bill of Rights and how it was just unconscionable that they would not include that. And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing, the irony or the paradox was
that the states demanded that the Bill of Rights be applied to the general government. And keep in mind that many of the states, and as a matter of fact, Nichols brought this up in the Virginia ratification debates, I think four or five, almost half of the states in the Republic at that point in time had no Bill of Rights protecting their citizens. And so they were pointing out the fact that, well, you know, if you're not being an oppressive government and these other states aren't being an oppressive government, then why would we worry about that? Because everything is basically surrendered to the states. And this was their argument. The states had all full unabridged powers in their governing of the people. They could easily pass laws that would then require the folks to rise up and revolt against their state government, because that's where, you know, the governance was the closest to the people. And so there are really no limitations other than what is within those state constitutions. And a lot of those state constitutions were pretty ambiguous. And so if you put your head into the paradigm of the framers at that point in time, they realized that creating a constitution that limited, or actually didn't limit, it identified the very few powers that they were delegating. And as a matter of fact, let me go to a Virginia ratification debate where Madison talks about this. And this is, I think it's June 6th. If Virginia was separated from all the states, her power and authority would extend to all cases. In like manner, were all powers vested in the general government, it would be a consolidated government. But the powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. So what he's saying is that it can't do that legally and constitutionally. It doesn't mean that if they can convince you and hoodwink you into thinking that they do have the power to do it, and you let them do it, doesn't mean that they won't do it. And so that's what they've been doing for two centuries. And so the real problem, it hasn't been necessarily the federal government failing, but really what happened was that the states failed to do their job. And I know I've read these before, but they're always worth reading again. Because during the Federalist Papers, it was pretty clear, both Madison and Hamilton said this, and these comments came out also during the ratification debates. But these are pretty concise little arguments that they threw out there. And this is Madison and Federalist Paper number 48. The conclusion which I am warranted in drawing from these observations is that a mere demarcation on parchment of the Constitution limits of the several departments is not a sufficient guard against those encroachments which lead to tyrannical concentration of the powers of government in the same hands. In other words, he's saying, hey, this demarcation is not, you know, going to just do it. And he was basically implying that the onus is on the states to step up and create barriers so that they do not have to worry about the federal government being able to encroach upon those things. And so what happened was the states failed to do that. And as a matter of fact, it was Hamilton in Federalist Paper 85, and he actually said it this way: we may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislatures to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. If the foregoing argument is a fallacy, certain it is that I myself am deceived by it, for it is, in my conception, one of those rare instances in which a political truth can be brought to the test of a mathematical demonstration. Yeah, he was right, but here's the problem, and this is really what happened as soon as they ratified that federal government. What happened? all these brain children of the Constitution and the brain trust of these states. What happened to those guys? Well, they got promoted. They went and sat in seats up in the federal government. They went to Congress. They became Congress aides. They became parts of the Department of the State, Treasury, and so forth, and blah, blah, blah. So all of a sudden, these really smart guys that were saying these great things were going up there, and who was left to remember that they had to create these barriers? It's not that they didn't say it, and it's not that they didn't think it, but here was the other problem. So this is a multifold problem. So you had all these very smart people that said, this is what we got to do. And then as soon as they created this federal government, all these great and smart people from each of the states went up to the national government. That was the cream of the crop that went up there. Hamilton was up in the Secretary of State. Jefferson was Secretary of State. Hamilton was Secretary of Treasury. I say Secretary of State with Hamilton because he actually occupied both departments and actually set up and regulated the State Department into a inferior position to the Treasury because he was there and in control. And Jefferson didn't care for that. And at that point in time, I think that's when they started recognizing that Hamilton was a lot like Patrick Henry in being a very self-serving and a very ruthless politician. Let's just say that. And so when Jefferson, Hamilton, and all of these smart people, I think Rufus King even made it by the skin of his teeth from New York, but that wasn't because he wasn't worthy of it. It's just that a lot of these guys had to kind of really prove themselves after they said, oh, we don't need a Bill of Rights when the states really wanted it. And so if you read some of the history on this, it was kind of interesting, the dynamics, but I want you to understand that the best of the best went to the federal government. And so the states, you know, were left to kind of fend for themselves. But here was the second problem. Well, you had all these great people with great character and great intentions and so forth, and you're not going to trust them? You really need to create these barriers? I think there was apprehension by those who were left in the states to say, come on, we can't show them that we really don't trust them. You know, maybe that was just hyperbole. Is that what that was? I don't think so. I don't believe that that's what it was. I believe that these brilliant men like Madison and Hamilton knew that the states needed to do this because the temptation is too great. And obviously, my friends, if you look at our federal government today, what is it that they haven't consumed that they don't have the authority to do? What is it? Well, babysitting. They haven't taken over the full control of your home yet. Go read Hillary's Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Go do that. Do yourself a favor and go to the library. Don't buy it, please. Don't send her any more money. Go and check it out from the library because I think they probably all bought 4 or 5 books. That's how she sold so many of them. And that's the same thing with Bill. As a matter of fact, as an author, I would love to have the library buy about 50,000 of my books because that's how they become a bestseller as soon as they hit the gate because they have it in with the progressive library system. But anywho, go read that because in her book, she clearly states that they need to create from conception when a woman wants to go to full term and, you know, actually have the child, that's when a social worker is supposed to be assigned to that fetus, that infant. And then when that infant is born, then that social worker will work in the home and monitor to make sure that the child's getting enough nutrition, that you have enough support, you have enough education, and to make sure that that child does not get exposed to religious dogma that could be damaging. Go read it for yourself. I'll be back to talk a little bit more about that as soon as we get back from our break. So please stay tuned. And I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals. But do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and MobiStripPress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so if you make the connection with what Hillary Clinton is purporting or is asserting needs to be done with a government overreach into the family and into the home, what they're talking about is basically creating a new branch of government outside of the unconstitutional Health and Human Services government, or that branch, or I should say that directorate or department. And what they're going to do is create a Department of Babysitting. And so that way the government will be able to monitor and make sure that every child is grown up so that it conforms to the needs of the government, because That is the prevailing thought of communists. So what got me on this? So if you understand the prevailing thought of the framers at the time and how they recognized tyranny and the tyranny that they lived under, like I said, excuse the expression, but somebody's been peeing in the gene pool, because we are literally at a point where we're actually allowing them to manage every little facet of our life, from how much toilet water we can flush and the type of things we can eat and drink, and the labels and controls and drugs, and the fact that they even control drugs in every facet of the health industry practically today. My friends, the prevailing thought at the time was that this was a very limited and defined government. It was constrained by the Constitution, and that the states possessed the rights and the property of all other roles, responsibilities, and powers not delegated. Remember when Madison schooled Mr. Livingston over the cod fishery bounties, that they were saying, well, let's use the General Welfare Clause to come up with a justification in paying bounties to these cod fisheries so that we can help them out. And that's when Madison gave the metaphor, shoot, if we could do that, then we could do these unconscionable things like control the education system and control religion, which is exactly what they're doing today, folks. Come on. What is it going to take? What do you need before you finally recognize that the door is going to be shut and we will all be trapped? And so that question, I beg, please call in. Please let me know. Send me an email. Hit me up on Facebook. Tell me, what is it going to take? I mean, do you actually have a limit? Because it just seems like that everybody is enthralled with the status quo of being a part of the Republican establishment or the anti-establishment, pro-Trump. The day you turn your back on DC and focus your energies in every capacity on your local state government is the day we start taking this republic back. Every time we focus on what is happening in Washington, DC, every time we do that is when we are being distracted in focusing on what the real solution is. The solution is the states, folks. This is a republic. This isn't a nationalized government, but they're getting very close to finalizing that. And so that's why we have to wake up our state legislatures. That's why I'm trying to work with a lot of folks. And I had a great conversation with G. Edward Griffin yesterday. I'm planning on having quite a few more great conversations with him and other leaders of other organizations that are recognizing, I don't want to say the merit of Republic Review, because I don't want you to think that this is, it may be a copyrighted concept and it may be something that I have my hands on, but I only have my hands on it to ensure that it doesn't get bought up and doesn't get buried and doesn't get placed, so that it never gets applied. Because if that happens, folks, it's all lost. And so what I am hoping is that, I get plenty of people coming to the table very quickly so that we can actually get this surge for these rodeos. That's one of the reasons why I'm trying to do this crowdfunding. This crowdfunding is only going to pay for, and I'm not looking for $1 million, even though I basically put in my book, if I had $9 million, I could operate for 2 years putting out content and doing networking and actually paying people to do really good work in literally changing the paradigm of both the conservatives, the Republicans, and so forth, and getting them organized. Because bottom line, it takes resources. It takes resources to do this. It takes this microphone and this time to sit down and kind of spell these things out for you. And so that you can kind of go, well, you know what? This absolutely makes sense. I don't see a hole in this. If you find a hole, call. Let me know. I'm okay with you exposing the hole, because it may have already been addressed, or that hole may be funneling something to something else that you didn't think or see, and I might have already addressed it, like I said. But that being said, why are we in this situation today? When did our limited government obtain no bounds or limitations on what they can do and who they can give money to and for what reasons? This is because the vigilance by the states and the vigilance by our predecessors in our state governments and through the national government have convinced and lulled everybody into believing in this living constitution, this living document, that they can do whatever they want to do. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a big manipulation and deceit. And if you read these documents that I've read, and as a matter of fact, Who's honest here? Who has the character and integrity and the clout of saying, you know, who's being deceitful? Was it the citing document? Was Hamilton and Madison in those documents? Were they being deceitful? Or is it the teachers in the national education system and the higher education systems, the ones that are being deceitful? Is it the politicians that are being deceitful? I will tell you, there is no honor and integrity. There is only honor among thieves that help each other. And that is about the only honor that is left within our government today. And so that's why we have to focus down at the lower level, because even though there may be some little bit of corruption and some other shenanigans going on, I think there are enough good leaders out of the 5,445 state legislatures in this republic. I believe that there is enough there that we can, you know, gather together in a similitude of leadership in moving a charge and taking back these property rights, these rights of governance that the federal government has no right to, such as education, healthcare, energy. All 12 of these unconstitutional executive departments and like 600 and some odd offices and so forth, all of them need to be pulled back because they're spending us into oblivion and they're ruling us and regulating us into dependence upon them. People say, well, what's going to happen when all of a sudden this goes away? I will tell you that the state, the regulations that are holding the states back in being able to harvest their timber, being able to use their resources available to what is best for them, now they have control of their own destiny. But right now, the states are in cages. Wyoming is in a huge cage. They're actually losing population in Wyoming right now. And that's why I believe Wyoming is a ripe state. It's a very red state. And that is one of the states that I want to focus on in these rodeos. Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, Dakotas, and Kansas. Those are the six states. And I mentioned that in my promos and so forth. So here it comes again, folks. When is it that you're going to put your foot down and demand something be done? Who, what, why and how is what we're here to talk about. I hope to have this as a central point of being able to communicate with state legislatures and have state legislatures come in and talk about the coalitions that they're building, the leadership that they're applying in putting forth resolutions, calling upon other states and joining them and calling out the federal government for violating their constitution. Because it is the state's constitution. Read Article 7. Article 7 clearly states that it is up to the states to ratify, which means that they are the stakeholders of the contract, not the general government. It is the states that created that general government. So in a family type of relationship, the states are the parents, and that general government or the federal government is the child. And so it's time that the parents seize control because their child run amok. And so it is my intent to get all equally informed, to get all focused on the solution in a concise and succinct way, and focus your fury on your state legislatures. And in doing that, I believe that we'll be able to reclaim the republic together. I am G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic. And we will do this reclaiming of the republic and restore our constitutional, or what I like to call our hybrid constitutional republic. We will restore it by using Republic Review. And in doing that, I believe that we will be able to actually unleash this awesome potential and this awesome capability that is within each of these states, the resources and those, what do you say, capabilities, whether they be raw resources, whether they be intellectual property and development, those things will become unleashed once we get government regulations, at least the federal government regulations, out of control. If we, the states, believe that there needs to be some forms of regulations, then we should be in control of those and not let somebody sell us downriver for the international businesses and the global agenda. Do you understand? With that, my friends, we will reclaim the republic. I'm GR Mobley. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you tomorrow.